I don't know if you, like me, found it shocking to hear that children in Britain are rated amongst the most unhappy in Europe. And it begs the question, why, and what would help? Well, part of the why may be that children today are surrounded by such huge uncertainty. They are imbibing direct or indirect messages every day that their world's at risk. At home, it might be the economic stress, it might be messages that they can't afford food and heat or even a roof over their heads. But aside from that, there's also all this talk of global instability. Will there be an atomic attack? As well as messages about global warming. It's a hard world to grow up in right now. To find resilience to process these things, we know that children need to feel a sense of belonging. This has been found to be key to their well-being. And some of the ingredients of this seem to be about a sense of identity, of care and community, purpose, having rituals and some control of being able to make positive differences. So today I've got the pleasure of thinking about this with Claire Deal, a teacher and researcher. I was really drawn to an article that she wrote recently, published in Times Educational Supplement, talking about belonging. And we want to really explore how schools can create the safe places in which children have this sense of belonging to give them the platform to cope with these lives. So Claire, maybe you could describe a bit about what you're doing now and where your interest comes from with this issue.
Yeah, of course. So my name's Claire Deal and I work at an SEN school in Newcastle. And I trained in mainstream secondary schools and then moved into SEN straight after that. And then the thought really for the article sprang when I was cycling home. I was listening to a podcast and there was an anthropologist talking all about human societies and this kind of primal need to belong within a community, and about how this anthropologist called Dunbar had come up with this. He'd done a lot of research into communities and come up with this number of 150 as the kind of maximum number that people can have within a community and kind of feel valued and value that community and have meaningful relationships with people within that community. And coincidentally, the school that I'm teaching in now has got about 150 students. And so I wondered whether there was something about this number which kind of taps into something quite profound, really quite primal for human beings, and about the number of people around them, which kind of creates this feeling of belonging and being part of a community. So I started looking a little bit into that and how that functions within education.
So I love the idea that you bring to us that there's a sort of ultimate number, but within the smaller grouping, thinking that children start within a family and going to school is a really big leap. But I wonder, Claire, if you can describe what you see happening that really matters to these children.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a really good point about the families being really central and being obviously that first community that a child is born into. And I think part of what really nurtures a sense of belonging within schools is when there is really close communication, very open communication with families. And when that happens and when that positive framework is built around the child, they feel so much more a part of the world that they're in when that world seems to be communicating kind of through the disparate parts. So school know what's happening at home and home know what's happening at school. And I think that's something which the school really focuses on where I teach at the moment. So they've got diaries which we write in every day for the children about what they've done. And we ring up maybe when something has been a bit challenging, but also I think importantly when something has gone really well. And I think that ringing up when it's a positive makes a huge difference to that child going home and the greeting that they get from home, who already know how hard their child has worked at school or something that they've done that's been really impressive.
How do we bring this sense of belonging, which you know is core, it's been researched, it's core to the sense of well-being, which is also critical to children's academic ability to progress. How do we bring it into those mainstream bigger schools as well, Claire?
Something which is very powerful but also doesn't take very much time is repeating back what you've heard. So if a young person or a student says that they're really angry about something, or they feel really annoyed about someone, just saying to them, I can hear that you are feeling really annoyed about that, and let's find a way to work through that. And yeah. Just that, rather than a kind of immediate dismissal, which can be tempting in a very busy place, just that kind of catching the emotion, matching it, repeating it back to them, yes. And then finding a solution together.
I think acknowledgement goes such a long way with children, because when we don't acknowledge how they feel, they keep pushing back to tell us in different ways. So it can escalate to being really bad behaviour, but because we've not heard they're upset, and anger only comes when a child is upset. So if we can actually say, I can see you're really bothered, something's upset you, that's taking them seriously, isn't it? And as you say, however busy your classroom is, to acknowledge somebody is critical, because you see them then as an individual rather than a cog in a wheel where the task overturns the person's needs. A culture in a school that really sets a tone that you're talking about, which we try and do at Jamie's Farm, where each person's feelings are important, and actually they then tend to flow in a positive direction, because so much of that energy that's gone into resistance or into some kind of inflammatory response can be soothed. And it just makes me think, you know, when we think about belonging, I do think that creating that culture with peers is critical too, where the peers and the friends, because we know identity is so critical to children, and friendship is, to create a culture where it's okay for them to do that for each other too. So having lots of kinds of peer structures that, whether it's peer mentoring or vertical tutor groups, so that children meet older children who can mentor, lead them, or just be role models, but where they listen and take them seriously. I just think it averts a lot of difficulties in a school then.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and I think that's something, again, which is really powerful at Jamie's Farm, is the shared check-in meetings, where everyone, it's not just a young person speaking to a member of staff and then going back to their peer group. They're witnessed by their peers, by their friends, who see them doing the jobs around the farm and then reflecting back how they're feeling, and also kind of celebrating them, giving shout outs to one another. I think it's really true, because I think it's, you're right that peer group interaction is almost always, for most children, it's going to be so much more important to them. It's what they're going to think about. They're not going to think too deeply about how their relationships are with their teachers, but they are going to be completely focused on what their friendships are like. So facilitating a space where they can celebrate one another and check in honestly and hear one another is really important, really powerful.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things that, you know, you can build feedback into any lesson. You can group children so that they have time to do those things of congratulating each other, or where they see the strengths in someone as well as support their challenges. And I think belonging, it seems to me, the more we've talked about it, it is about having a safe space, a place where you feel accepted, where you have value, and you can also grow as a person to be more of yourself. And I feel so sad for those children who struggle with friendships, who struggle in the really big schools, that they kind of feel that they're going from one place to another, but they've almost never navigated even the geography of those huge institutions. And I really hope that in the work we're doing, that we can encourage schools to break things down, like many do, into recognisable structures, just to go back to the beginning where you started. If 150 is about what we can recognise, I think where schools have structures which are house systems or groupings of any kind that meet together regularly, that have their routines, that have a sense of communication, that have set their values, that the children participate in that and feel they have an ownership of it and they have some responsibilities there, I think that can do a lot to grow a child.
I think small acts can go so far. So I think I'm always very I'm very keen on a very short comment in a corridor passing a student, and thinking that those small encounters, checking in on someone or saying you like the new haircut, and even if they seem a bit embarrassed, I think it kind of gives them that quite warm glow of feeling like they're known around the school.
I agree. I think the small things go a long, long way, because you're recognising that child as an individual, that you've seen them, that you have a relationship with them, and not that you just walk past them. Well, thank you, Claire. It's been a real pleasure talking to you. And there's a lot there for us to think about how we can check out in any of the work that we do with young people, that we really are paying attention to whether they feel that sense of belonging and safety that will build them from the inside. Thank you.